Our gospel reading this evening comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, beginning with the 23rd verse. The Holy Gospel according to John. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says. Then they divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop, and they held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. You may have noticed our focus this evening is not on the pulpit or the lectern, but upon the table. So I will be preaching from here, and maybe as uncomfortable for you as it is for me. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather this evening at the foot of the cross, where we have just heard Jesus' last words read to us. Now, this might be somewhat unexpected if you came tonight expecting to read about and maybe even see some foot washing, in addition to celebrating the Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples. But as we have been reading and preaching through John's version of Holy Week throughout Lent, we've already reflected upon the story of Jesus standing up from the table, taking off his outer robe, wrapping that towel around his waist, and kneeling at each of his disciples' feet and washing them. We've also heard about how such an act was rarely done. And if it was done by a servant, never the host. We've read about how Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. We've read about how Peter's denial and Jesus' trial before Annas and Caiaphas and Pilate. We have heard the crowd shout Barabbas, the name of an insurrectionist, and the shouts of "Crucify him" after Jesus had been flogged and beaten and a crown of thorns put upon his head. And just this past Sunday, we read about Jesus carrying the cross to the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There he was crucified with an inscription written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek that said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Our reading this evening begins not with Jesus at the table with the disciples, but with Jesus upon the cross. And these are the final moments of Jesus' earthly life and ministry. But at the beginning of his ministry, at those first moments in John's gospel, we began with Jesus and the disciples at a wedding in Cana. You might remember the story. Jesus' mother was there as well at the wedding. And she is the one who told Jesus that they had run out of wine. To which Jesus replied, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." However, Jesus still turned those six jars of water into wine, better wine than had been originally served at the wedding. For that was the first sign, which is what John calls miracles in his gospel, that pointed to who Jesus is and what his mission here was on earth. Now, Jesus' mother only appears one other place in John's gospel, and that's in our reading this evening, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, is gathered with two other Marys, one her sister, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, all at the foot of the cross. Unlike the wedding, we know that Jesus' hour has now come. And now the purpose of his life and ministry is in the process of being revealed. There will be no more signs that point to who Jesus is. Only the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension will reveal how he has fulfilled those things that were written about him in Scripture. For Jesus is the fulfillment of what has been written in Scripture, as we were already reminded twice in our reading tonight. From the cross, Jesus refers to his mother as woman again. Clearly, this is not a sign of disrespect, as it might sound to us today. I can't even imagine. Then, in a final act of care for his mother, Jesus connects her with the disciple whom he loved, establishing a mutually supportive family-type relationship for the time after he was gone. And then we read, Jesus said, "I am thirsty. I am thirsty. The one who offered the woman at the well living water, that if she drank of it, she would never thirst again, now is thirsty himself." But rather than giving him a drink of thirst-quenching water, they offer him wine. And much like at the wedding at Cana, wine again becomes an important part of the story. This time the wine is not run out, but it's sour. So they took a sponge and they filled it with the wine. And then they put it on a hyssop branch and they held it up to Jesus' mouth so that he could drink of it. And when he drank it, this sour wine, he said his final words, "It is finished. It is finished. The hour had come." So Jesus bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. We remember Jesus' final words upon the cross, the sour wine that he drank, as we also remember the cup that he blessed and the wine that he offered to his disciples on that night when he was betrayed. That meal, that betrayal set into motion the events that fulfilled that which had been written in the Scriptures. For the hour had come for Jesus to give his life as a loving sacrifice, the Passover lamb that was slain in order to lead God's people from our captivity into the freedom of the promised land, life in the kingdom of God. It was not sour wine that Jesus offered his disciples and us, but his very body and blood that were given, that were sacrificed in order that we might be freed from the consequences of our sin, released from the power of death, and given life everlasting in the company of the Almighty. Now, the meal that Jesus shared at the table with the disciples was a meal of remembrance, remembering and enacting the night that God prepared God's people for their exodus from Egypt. For as long as anyone could remember, the Israelites, God's chosen people, had been slaves in Egypt, where they were forced to work for the good of Pharaoh. However, after 10 horrific plagues culminating in the murder of every male Egyptian baby, Pharaoh finally agreed to release the Israelites from their captivity. And it was the blood of an unblemished lamb that was painted on the Israelite doorposts that protected the male Israelite babies from the angel of death. That lamb, my friends, has been replaced by the Lamb of God, who gave his life in order to protect, save, and deliver us from a certain death. So tonight we come to this table in remembrance that Jesus, who knew no sin, took upon himself the wages of our sin when he allowed himself to be crucified for us. When we eat of the bread and we drink of the cup, we are filled with the love of the new covenant, wherein God has promised to give us new life, everlasting life in God's heavenly kingdom. So we come to this table remembering that it was for the sin and sins of the world that Jesus went to the cross. We come to this table acknowledging our sinfulness and our need for forgiveness, especially during this Lenten season of repentance. We come to this table at the foot of this beautiful stained glass cross, which is a reminder to us of the resurrection, acknowledging that the cross was not always so beautiful, especially when it was used as a humiliating, painful form of torture and death. We come to this table mutually in need of the grace that has been given to us because of God's love for the world. We come to this table because we have been invited by the very Word made flesh, invited like the woman at the well to drink of the living water that has been offered to us through Jesus Christ. We come to this table with the echo of Jesus' words, his final words, "It is finished," ringing in our ears, knowing that what was finished upon the cross was only the beginning, a new beginning, the beginning of everlasting life for us. We come to this table not because we must, but because we may. We come to this table to testify not that we are righteous, but that we sincerely love the Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his disciples. We come to this table not because we have any claim on the grace of God, but because in our frailty and sin, we stand in constant need of God's mercy and help. We come to this table, my friends, not to express an opinion, but to seek God's presence and to pray for the Spirit. We come to this table. Amen.